The name of my message today is Think About It. Think About It. I thought about it. And I wondered what would happen if I stood on a street corner and talked to about 100 people as they went by. And I said, if you died today, do you think you would go to heaven? And, of course, there's only two responses, no or yes. And if they said no, I would ask them, well, why not? Why not? Well, as you can see, there's different reasons. If you ask someone, do you think you're going to go to heaven? They go, no. Well, it could be because they do not believe that there is a God. Of course, we call these people atheists. And atheists, of course, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in heaven, so they don't believe they're going to go there. But there are two basic types of atheists. There are the philosophical atheists. These are the people who choose not to believe in God because he doesn't meet their expectations. Basically, that's it. They don't understand God. They think to themselves, if I were God, I would do it this way. I wouldn't let this happen. They would just fix everything if they were God. And so they don't agree with him. And many of them hate him, but they don't believe in him, which is kind of confusing that you hate someone you don't believe in. But we call them philosophical atheists. Then there is what I call the pseudo-scientific atheists. These are the ones that are steeped in evolution. Now, there's many people that believe in evolution that are Christians. They just believe that God did it that way. However, all atheists have to believe in evolution. They have no other choice. Because if they believed in creation, then they would know there's a God. So all atheists have to be evolutionists. Now, I've spoken quite a bit about this. Everybody knows that I am a creationist and I speak about it. Probably of all the different ways that creationists can argue for a creation rather than evolution, the best, and technology keeps revealing more and more and more of this, the best argument of all is from genetics, the molecule of DNA. If you ask any scientist, is DNA a coded language, they will say yes. But those same scientists that say that DNA is a coded language will tell you that nobody wrote it. So if they want to believe that a book can write itself, I guess that's up to them. But creation shouts. I mean, the creation that we see shouts that there's a God. Romans chapter 1. I'll give you time if you want to go there. Very important scripture. Romans chapter 1 talks about this very thing, this very thing. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And only a fool can believe that a book can write itself. So those are about the atheists. Of course, atheists are going to say, no, I don't think I'm going to go to heaven. But is there anybody else? Well, these are also people. Now, these are people. Remember, the atheists don't believe there's a God. These are people who don't think they're going to heaven, but they do believe there's a God. Okay, now the first ones are the agnostics. Agnostics, some people kind of lump them in with atheists, but agnostics do believe in a God. But they basically believe that God may have directed evolution and then he just kind of stepped back and he's just an observer. He is not personal. He is not part of our lives. He just lets things happen however they happen. And that's what agnostics believe. So they believe in a God, but they don't believe in heaven. And they certainly don't believe they are going to heaven. And then there are people who, let's see if I got the right order. There are people who haven't thought about it. People who haven't thought about it. Do you think you're going to go to heaven? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. Really haven't thought about it much. Yeah, I think that's kind of important. But these are people, remember when we looked at the soils in Matthew chapter 13, the different kind of soils? The third one was the thorny soil. Now, this particular illustration is about Christians letting thorns get in the way and distractions get in the way of their Christian life. But that also works for these people. They get so in, they're not Christians, but they get so involved in their life and distractions, they don't even think about eternity. You go to talk to them and, well, I've just never thought about that. You think you're going to heaven? I don't know. And they put off things. They're procrastinators. They put off thinking about it. Oh, I might think about it one day, but I'm too busy right now. Matthew 13:7 says, and some fell among thorns, and a thorn sprung up and choked them. And then you have the other group, people who don't think they are good enough. People who don't think they are good enough. If I went into the church, a roof would fall in. You know, that religion stuff, that Christianity is not for me. You know, I'm just, it's the way I've always been. It's the way I'm always going to be. It's my lifestyle. I'm just not good enough to get into heaven. And apparently they're not too concerned about it. Okay, those are the ones that will tell you, no, I'm not going to heaven. It's working. Here we go. Can you advance it, Brian? It's not working for me. Okay, thank you. These are the ones that will say, yes, I'm going to heaven. Now, if they would tell me, yes, I'm going to heaven, then my next question is, what do you base that on? Why do you think you're going to heaven? Well, again, there are groups of people. There are people who think that they can fool God. In other words, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I'm going to enjoy all the pleasures of this life. And then when I get sick and I'm on my deathbed, then I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And I'm going to get to heaven that way. Well, all I can say is, God is not mocked. Amen. God is not mocked. He knows what's in your heart. He knows if you're trying to trick him or use him. He understands. And then there are people who do not understand all the aspects of God. They don't get it. They'll say something like this, well, God is only love. He's only love. And a loving God will never send anyone to hell. Therefore, they believe they're going to go to heaven because there is no hell, because a loving God would never do that. However, A.W. Tozer, a great theologian, said this. He says, the man who has an adequate conception of God will not only believe in the love of God, but also in the holiness of God. He will not only believe in the mercy of God, but also the justice of God. The justice of God. And then there are people who think they are good enough. People who think they are good enough. We had the other group that didn't think they were. These people think they are good enough. They think they're going to get to heaven for being good. They think they're going to get to heaven by their works. They think they're going to be able to earn their way into heaven just by being a good neighbor. Or maybe they do go to church and put their money in the plate and they do all these things. Maybe they're a really good citizen. They've never been arrested. A model citizen. They believe that their works are going to get them into heaven. And then lastly, of the people who say yes, and I would say, now what do you base that on? Lastly, There is the group who accept the gift of God's grace. The people who accept the gift of God's grace. They said, yes, I'm going to heaven. Romans 6:23 says, and this is our key scripture for the day, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That same A.W. Tozer also said this. He said, the first truth is that no one ever was saved, no one is now saved, and no one ever will be saved except by grace. Can't say it any better than that. No one will ever be saved except by grace. The second truth is, this is A.W. Tozer, he says, the second truth is that grace always comes by Jesus Christ. Always comes by Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says there's no other name in heaven by which we must be saved. So this grace is confusing to some people. We sing about amazing grace. What is it? Well, the standard definition is it's unmerited favor. It's getting something we don't deserve. But I like this definition. Grace is the forgiveness of your sins given to you by God upon request. It's the forgiveness of your sins. Your sins are forgiven by God upon request. And the reason that he is able to do that is because of what his son did on the cross. We studied in Sunday school today that so many people think they're going to get to heaven by works or by obeying the law that God gave to Moses. They think if I can just stay within that law, I will be fine. But if that were possible, if the law could save you, Jesus didn't have to get up on the cross. But he knew that the law can't save us because we can't abide by it. We are cursed if we think we have to obey the law to get saved because we can't do it. And so he provided another way. Now, as we close, we get ready to do this last song. A couple weeks ago, Matt and Marcella were talking about different songs to do and introduce and that sort of thing. And he played one and sang one for us called Be the Center. Be the Center. And it's about someone saying, I want Jesus to be the center of my life. Okay, let me show you, get the words here. We're gonna sing this. We're gonna kind of teach it to you and sing this, and then maybe in a week or two we'll do it as a congregational song. But he says, Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, be the center, be my hope, be my song, be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live. Be my vision, be my path, be my guide. And so what he's talking about here, and I'm assuming this was written by Michael Fry, and I'm assuming this fellow has gone through this process of sanctification, and he is realizing that instead of just coming to church on Sunday morning and doing the things you're supposed to do, but you're still living your life, he's saying, I've learned now that I need to put Jesus in the center. I need to put him in the center. He needs to be my source. He needs to be my light. In other words, I need to live my life through him. And, so many different gospel songs and contemporary music, whatever genre it is, they have a message. And this is a wonderful, wonderful message. And we'll sing it today, and we will have you listen to it and try to learn it. Because when you learn a song, like Matt has said many different times, you learn a song, and you're driving down the road, and a melody goes through your head. But if the songs, you know, we can remember things because the music cues it. We can remember better if we have it to music. And if you can just have those words in your head, be the center, be my light, be my source, it would be very helpful. So I'll go ahead and close in prayer, and then we will sing the song, and we'll use it as an altar call. And certainly the altar is open. If this song touches your heart, if you want to come to the altar just to pray for salvation, pray for somebody else's salvation, pray for the sick, pray for someone that you're concerned about. You don't need to come to the altar. Of course, you can do that from your seat, but some people want to. It's certainly open for you as we get ready to sing this song. So let's pray. Dear Lord, as we sing this song, we just pray that it will hit all of us. It will speak to every single one of us that we need to be better at putting Jesus right in the center of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Son, may we keep him in the center of our lives in Jesus' name.